Herzlich willkommen zu Mitgeschnitten. Dieser Podcast widmet sich Veranstaltungen und Podiumsdiskussionen an der Leuphana Universität Lüneburg. Mit dabei sind zahlreiche Persönlichkeiten, auch aus Politik und Wirtschaft. Sie hören die Originalaufnahmen der Diskussion, die auch als YouTube-Video verfügbar sind. Das Thema dieser Episode ist Mobilität in Bewegung. Das Gespräch wurde im Rahmen der Opening Week 2021 mitgeschnitten. Mit dabei sind die Autorin Dr. Nari Kahle und Dr. Hanna Trittin-Ulbrich, Juniorprofessorin für Betriebswirtschaftslehre an der Leuphana Universität Lüneburg. Viel Spaß beim Mithören.
Yes, hello. My name is Hanna Trittin-Ulbrich, and today I'm going to talk with Nari Kahle, who is the author of the book Mobilität in Bewegung, or in English, Mobility on the Move. And I'm very happy to talk with you, Nari, today about your book. And thanks for coming to Opening Week 2021 to Leuphana in the virtual. So my question to you would be, first, what motivated you to write this book? And maybe you can talk or tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you come about with this idea on a book on mobility?
Hi, Hanna. It's really an honor to be here with you. And hello to everyone here at the starting week at the Leuphana University. My name is Nari. And basically, I have one job in during the day, which is being a manager at the Volkswagen Group. And I've been working there for a couple of years. And a couple of the positions that I had before was also concerning the social sustainability of the Volkswagen Group. And I've always been interested very much in the whole topic of social innovation, social business, sustainability. I've also done my PhD on that. And when I think back, I was really happy that the whole topic of sustainability becomes more and more present in all the concerns around mobility, which is great in my belief. But there was one point missing for me, and that was that the topic of social sustainability became more and more neglected, in my opinion, in the companies, also in the public debates, which I found quite sad, because we have been speaking a lot about, of course, climate, ecological sustainability. And I thought it's really a pity that the whole side of social sustainability becomes a little bit forgotten. And that was the reason why I thought, okay, there are so many great people working on it. There are so many great social innovations out there regarding mobility, and also a lot of important questions that we still need to ask ourselves in society. And basically, that was the motivation why I wrote the book, because I really felt that there are a couple of points still missing out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that really, I think, also taps already on the topic of our opening week this year, and the theme is the New Deal. So how would you say, what is the role of mobility for any kind of New Deal that we have to find in let's say, a post-pandemic society?
That's quite a big question, I would say. Well, I think the interesting thing about mobility is that it's a big part of almost everyone's life. I mean, Hanna, if you think about it, I think it's really crazy. If you're looking for a new apartment, a lot of times you're really choosing an apartment regarding the proximity to the next train station or the access, or some people are even buying a whole house because it's close to the next Autobahn and wherever. I mean, it is really having a huge impact. And if you think about long-distance relationships, for example, long-distance relationships would not be working without mobility. So what I wanted to say is mobility has a huge impact on all our lives, but we are not really thinking about it a lot of times. We see it quite static. We take it as it is. And I think so far, when we look back in our lives, we use the car to go to work, or we use the bus, and we do it Mondays to Fridays, both of the times, a lot of times at the exact same times. And I think that's quite interesting that now, during the pandemic, I think we have really been seeing a huge shift in our mobility and also our personal lives. And I think that is quite unique because now you see more and more people thinking about their mobility. They're thinking about, was that the best way for me to do? And maybe I can really find a better way for myself to really get mobility and my life into harmony and into a balance.
Yeah.
And I think that is quite an interesting approach because now we are finding a new way of new normal for our work life and our personal lives. And it may also have a huge impact on mobility because maybe from now on, we don't need to take the same routes and the same transport systems as before, but maybe we can now sit at home more to work. We can go to the offices to really appreciate FaceTime with other people and also use our cars and our trains during the times that work best for our lives.
Yeah. So if we recap, basically, I think the pandemic, as many crises, had a sort of a catalyst, or let's say a sort of an epiphany nature for questions of mobility, I would say. So I can speak from my personal experience, for example. So I live in Lüneburg, close to Leuphana, and I try to ride my bike as much as possible. And when I go to conferences, to academic conferences, I use public transportation, but I also fly. And for me as an academic, obviously, academic conferences are hugely important, you know, to network, to find co-authors, to build communities. And I really enjoyed them, but I took it basically for granted that I could get there. and that basically changed. It was very much challenged during the pandemic. Now, the question is, what do we do afterwards, right? So now that we try to get to what you said, a new normal, what does the new normal look like, right? And I think we have to question also often the purpose of how... Of our, you know, travels, of our commuting, and I think we are becoming aware that there are alternatives, and there have to be alternatives, right? So I've seen a lot in social media, for example, a lot of talks about cargo bikes and how biking now, is trending, and, you know, bike retailers have difficulties to get new bikes in stores because the people, you know, they bought bikes like crazy in the pandemic because everyone wanted to have a hobby where, you know, they could have leisure time, but also figured out it's a nice way to get through the city if there are not too many cars and, you know, not too many people driving around. So I think it really, it hopefully created a trigger for, you know, new ways of thinking about mobility. And would you say that, and I find it very interesting that you link mobility not to the ecological aspects, which I think is, you know, very prominent, but I think the social aspects are very important too. One of the topics that we have here is social justice. And would you say that mobility is a topic for social justice as well? And in which way?
Definitely, Hannah. And I think it's basically one of the most important aspects that we still need to face. First of all, we have the question of affordability. So mobility is, as I said before, almost a global need for everyone. So the question is, how can we really provide affordable mobility opportunities for everyone? Because if you think about it, I mean, we are here living in a very privileged area of the world. But of course, a lot of times you are highly dependent on mobility to maybe get to your work, make an income. So mobility really becomes a vehicle towards social mobility. So you can really have an impact on your life. So I think that is one point. And also you would have to know that on average, and I looked into the studies that they're out there, low-income households spend particularly more money on their income on mobility than other households. And I think this already shows that we do have an injustice out there, which we really need to focus on and really find possibilities towards participation and really giving anyone opportunities to be mobile as anyone else.
Yeah.
So that is one part. And the second part, which I also think is quite important, is that regarding future mobility, I think we really need to consider the needs of all of us. Because so far we have quite specific needs, which is maybe the majority of the society. But we have to take into account a broader and more holistic view on our target groups regarding mobility. And I think, and you are mentioning the social side also, I think that is quite interesting because if you have, for example, a ramp, for a vehicle, it not only helps people who are sitting in a wheelchair, but it's also very helpful for families with a stroller or if you're having a lot of luggage. If you have an app for blind people, for example, it's also very helpful for people who are not able to read quite quickly or who are maybe not native speakers. So you have a lot of positive effects if you think also about mobility in a very inclusive way.
Yeah. And so when we talk about a new deal, we obviously have to talk about who should be the actors involved in you know, figuring out what a new deal could look like. What is your, I mean, in terms of mobility, we have, you know, state governed mobility networks. We have, you know, private providers. We have civil society potentially having a keen interest in, you know, for example, getting access to rural villages. Even in, you know, even in Germany, we have difficulties, connecting rural villages to larger cities through public transportation that is reliable and that is, you know, safe and cheap. So, I mean, where do we start in your view? I mean, or who should be involved in that?
Well, that is exactly the point. Regarding, we really need to focus on the whole society and not only on parts. Mm-hmm. You mentioned rural mobility, and I think it's quite a fascinating topic, to be honest, because do we really need the regular bus lines, even though they are empty most of the times? Is that really economically sufficient? Or is it not smarter to find new ways of mobility innovations? And there are a couple of experiments going on in rural areas of Germany, which I find quite fascinating. And they're looking at on-demand public transport. So it could be a possibility that you close down those inefficient bus lines that are not really being used and instead have smaller shuttles that are really being there when you are there. And there, I think a couple of ideas like that make a lot of sense. And it just shows that you need to take on a new perspective on mobility and really think about human needs, really putting people and their demands into the focus and into the center. And I think if we are all together looking at mobility and our society like that, we can find a lot of better solutions towards mobility than there are today.
Very good point. So as I understand you, you would say that mobility is one of the grand social challenges that we face as, you know, sort of in the future, giving obviously that, you know, our population is growing rapidly. At the same time, we have new digital technologies that enable us to, you know, also work from home. So the question is whether, you know, transportation patterns change over time. People realize, oh, it's nice to live in, you know, small villages, but have, you know, a quick access to a larger city if needed. Lüneburg being a good example, being close to Hamburg. I think a lot of people like to live in Lüneburg because of the quality of life, but then they also enjoy going to Hamburg for a shopping trip, for example, right? So I think we do definitely see that, you know, also obviously needs of people change and desires of how we want to live in the future. And I mean, one of the hashtags we have today for the opening week is data. And I'm basically the representative of that hashtag. So I'm wondering, what is your take on data? And how is data, I guess, obviously it's important for, projecting, for example, mobility, and traffic. But what is your take on data in that sense? I mean, what kind of data do we need for, let's say, a new deal in mobility? And, you know, what are potentially also the, you know, challenges to collect that data?
Well, data is, of course, one of the most important success factors towards a future mobility. And let me just point out two aspects that I find quite important for that. First one is we are right now on the threshold before autonomous driving. So there's this new law that is being implemented, and it means that starting next year, we can see a lot of autonomous driving pilots also on our autobahns on level 4, which means without a security person who needs to be looking at the cars from somewhere else. But we can really see how autonomous driving will change society. And I'm really convinced of that, because with autonomous driving, we can enable people who have not been independently mobile before to really make them mobile. And I think that is quite a huge accomplishment. But, and that is the point, we need data for that. And of course, data will help us. It needs to be quite secure, because we cannot allow ourselves to have accidents that are too bad. And data, and that is the interesting thing, is already helping today to make traffic more secure. So that is one aspect why data is hugely important, and why, of course, all autonomous driving fields are looking for the best talents regarding data scientists and data engineers. The second part that I still think is quite important and not really being looked at is, if you want to provide better mobility, it is a lot of times quite expensive. And therefore, I've been talking with two hackers, to say, in my book. And those two hackers are really working towards a better mobility system. And therefore, they're working on open source data possibilities to create a bike sharing system in also a smaller city like Lüneburg, where normally a bike sharing would not be profitable to do. So they are working in Ulm, and therefore they are setting on open source to really create bike sharing and mobility sharing systems, which otherwise would not be profitable and economically feasible. And I think that is also quite interesting.
A super fascinating topic. We are all already out of time, I'm afraid. I think I could talk to you for hours about this topic. I find it highly fascinating. Thank you very much for, you know, broadening our horizon here on the relation between mobility, social innovation, but also, you know, considerations about the new deal in a post-pandemic world. Thank you very much, Nari. I would say not only your book is on the move, but also you are on the move. So you're a woman on the move, I would say. And I'm thanking you very much for this super interesting talk. And I'm wishing you good luck. And obviously, I recommend everyone to read your book and to get inspired by your thinking and your interviews and, you know, your case studies that you have presented there. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Hannah. It was my pleasure. And I wish you all an amazing opening week. Thank you. Bye.
Danke, dass Sie heute wieder mitgehört haben. In den Shownotes finden Sie Informationen und Links zu dieser Episode. Alle Folgen gibt es auf leufana.de/podcast und überall, wo es Podcasts gibt. Zudem finden Sie Original-Filmaufnahmen der Diskussion auf unserem Leufana-YouTube-Kanal. Wir freuen uns, wenn Sie Mitgeschnitten abonnieren und beim nächsten Mal wieder mithören.